We'd like to thank Cassiopeia Books for sponsoring Voices and Views. They are located at 606 Central Avenue in downtown Great Falls. Besides being a place to find your favorite books, they also host events with authors, book clubs, and local groups weekly. For special orders or more information, you can reach them at 315-1515.
Welcome to Voices and Views on Great Falls Public Radio, KGPR 89.9. Today on the show, I have the pleasure of welcoming Nicole Maria Evans, the curator of exhibitions
and collections.
And collections at the Paris Gibson Square Museum of Art. Nicole, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Thomas. Glad to be here.
So I want to start and get our listeners the highlight. We're going to lead with it. You have the Gala for the Arts coming up on Friday, May 13th at the Newbury from 6 to 10 p.m. Let's hear about it.
Well, it's going to be an amazing event. And what it is an impact fundraiser for the arts and specifically for the square. It is an operations fundraiser. And, you know, working in the arts and nonprofit organizations, fundraising never ends. So that is what this is for.
Absolutely. And I was very impressed to get the scale of what you guys are able to accomplish at Paris Gibson Square. Just talk about, you know, you have very few staff, right, to take care of that whole exhibition, to be moving things in constantly, the immense amount of classes. So who do we have at the square making this all happen?
Well, we have an amazing team. It is a small team of individuals, but we have Sarah Justice. She's our executive director. We have Colleen Palmer, our operations manager and gift shop manager. We have Ellie or Eliza Weber, who is our director of education. And you have me, who is basically the manager of the curatorial department as curator. And then we have actually a whole team of individuals who are instructors and in our education department who make the classes happen as well.
Because I'm just always blown away, and it is completely free admission to the museum, correct?
It is free. It is free to the public to enjoy and enter at any time they want to.
And so we've got the gala coming up, and I can't emphasize enough, you know, I come from the nonprofit world, Alliance for Youth,
yes.
And that it really is, when you offer these free services, right, that they have these ripple effects throughout the community. But, you know, we all need to eat, so to speak, right?
Exactly.
And we need to keep that place heated, and it's a beautiful facility, right? But it needs to be, to do these updates. So, you know, I highly encourage people, the Gala for the Arts, that impact fundraiser on Friday, May 13th at the Newbury, mm-hmm. 6 to 10 p.m. And you can find out more information about that on thesquare.org.
Correct.
So I want to move in and talk about Montana artists, because that's a lot about what you guys do and are a beautiful place to show the incredible talent we have here. So who are some of your favorite Montana artists?
Well, I would have to say that it's hard for me to choose one favorite Montana artist, but we have such a diverse group of people who are represented through our institution and who really impact the growth of the arts in the Montana or regional community. We have so many different artists, from textile artists, ceramic artists, painters, you name it, there is an artist to fit in that genre of art here in Montana. Most recently, we had an exhibition called Beyond Intention, where we focused on textile artists, and those featured three women, fiber artists, mixed media artists, who really are knocking it out of the park, two of which were from Montana and one was from Southern California. But Maggie Rosicki Hiltner, she is one of the artists right now who is really having an impact on the collector's medium across Montana and across the United States. She is currently showing at Radius Gallery in Missoula, and her work reaches people on a variety of different levels, from a kind of cynical perspective, as well as a silly and funny And then it reaches into our core values of who we are as people when we start to think of the materials that were used, such as homegrown materials of textiles and embroidery and quilting. So she asks you to really question the nature of who we are as people in her work. So she's an outstanding artist that is really growing strongly and is making a huge impact in the art world in general. But she hails from Montana. And what more could I say? Josh DeWeese, of course, an amazing master potter, professor of fine art, and creating works of art in a legacy, a family legacy of artists in his family that have created paintings and drawings and pottery. And he continues that legacy through his work as a potter. And he has always been supportive of the square, as he is of many of the cultural institutions in Montana. And I think that's a weighty task for many of the artists here, is being one of the primary supporters of the arts institutions in Montana and the nonprofits. So these artists are really carrying a lot of the weight needed for nonprofit art institutions and museums like the square perform their social tasks of providing art education, creating a future for art history and art knowledge in this region, and in a sense to impact the rest of American art history as well overall. So they are carrying the weight of that on their shoulders when institutions really rely on them to help with fundraising efforts like the upcoming gala that we're having.
Yeah, absolutely. I do have to ask about you all personally. So I've had, I felt very grateful to see some of the work that Sarah Justice, does. She's an incredible artist. And I just, do you also dolly in some artwork? And if so, what types?
I can draw and paint. And, I will admit that when I first was going into my bachelor's degree, I was pursuing a dual degree in fine art and art history. But then I moved towards more of the humanities and art history because I am a creative writer and I'm a historian. And so I moved towards that part of the artistic world. But yes, I too can do some of the studio art practices as well. However, I would tell you that ceramics is not my strong suit. I do not have the strength to handle that, but you have to do it over and over and then you can. So Sarah, with her delicate hands, actually has super strong hands to be able to handle the modeling of that clay and creating those beautiful sculptures in the form of human beings.
And I want to follow that thread on creative writing. So I'd say I'm a very early amateur writer of doing some minor, just short narrative pieces on fictional characters that I try to make up. But what is that consisted of, that your creative writing?
My creative writing is really researching the history of art throughout time and applying it to contemporary art. So contemporary artists, and then just kind of looking for a thread of understanding that integrates them in a narrative of conversation of art. Does that make sense? Like, how does what's happening today with this particular artist relate to the history of art, and how does history of art relate to our social history and who we are today?
Absolutely. I art, when you think of it on the real far back in history, is oftentimes how we understand cultures at all, right? If there's nothing mm-hmm. of written languages left, mm-hmm. it blends, I guess I would say, into like archaeology and
exactly.
It really just, there's no history without art. They're intertwined.
Exactly. And you bring up an important point when you say that, because I think just because we're talking on this same topic and the way that it's completely intertwined is that idea of like, how do we come to fund the arts, right? And it's often lost in the understanding that many funders over the past 2 years, due to what's happened with COVID And we're still pulling out of that, that many of our individual or private funders or corporate funders tend to pull away from the arts because it's not seen as having an immediate impact on society. So let's fund health organizations, which makes total sense to me, or organizations that impact the livelihood of youth, because of art does not, it doesn't appear to have an immediate impact, but it's actually quite the opposite.
And that's a great point that I actually bring up, and typically in a public policy perspective, but we don't want to be too much as a society reactive, right? We want to be proactive and understand we can kind of chew gum and walk at the same time. That, yes, we have immediate needs, but if you kind of play whack-a-mole and you're only focused on that what's right in front of you, right, this deep cultural element that really binds us together doesn't just work through inertia and continue on into the future. We have to cultivate it through right. organizations like the Square.
Exactly. And we need all the support that we can get in order to cultivate the arts, because it is it's a cycle. In a sense, we're like intrinsically dependent on one another, because you cannot remove art from its social historical context. Even art that is intended to be abstract and appears to be separate by being non-representational is actually supremely intertwined into the social history of a person and of a situation or an idea that is occurring in history.
Absolutely. And I do think that certainly I'll have this impression that there is a big gap between what I, for lack of a better word, will call like commercial art and community, right? So I'll see these, this thing went for, you know, $100 million, right? And you think, oh, wow, there's just like limitless funds going into this. And there is a great analogy, I think, would be that's like NBA and saying like your youth basketball team has tons of money because we have the NBA. That those don't blend all the time, right? That like you've got commercial art people that buy really expensive art and there's a lot of money there, but that doesn't translate down to you all.
Well, I would say that's probably maybe what you're trying to say is like the commercial art gallery world is what you're saying. Well, no, because that's a for-profit business. But they themselves struggle as well. Not as much as maybe a museum might, because where museums are often just offer so many free things to support the health and welfare of their community via the visual arts. But there is another dependence there between the gallery world, the artists, and the museum world. Because oftentimes, believe it or not, those commercial art galleries set the precedence for the longevity of an artist's career, which in turn stimulates museums to take notice of them and bring them into their collections and into the milieu of the historical value. So there's a lot going on.
Absolutely.
On those levels, you know. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And I do just want to, for our listeners again, like we hear a ton about negative externalities, right? That you have oil and gas extraction, I think, is the one you probably mm-hmm. hear the most, right? Mm-hmm. That you have a market value for it, but it does a lot of harm that is never brought back in and paid for by those that are profiting from it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think that's the flip side, and it's hard, right, to run an organization where most of the value that you produce is this long-term keeping this kind of unbroken cultural thread and being open to the community and providing these incredible free services, but that you don't actually recoup any value for that, right? That has to come into the community, and it's sort of diffuse the value you produce, but the costs are very real.
Exactly, yes. No matter what, and let me see if I'm answering your question properly and you can let me know, is Our funding raising efforts are just persistent, and we, for the most part, everything that comes in for a fiscal year, we end up using the complete budget of it, giving free services out, And so we only get two-thirds of our budget comes from donations. So in order for the operations of the square to succeed, has to occur through fundraising efforts that are depleted by the end of a fiscal year. So when we are originally reliant on private donors that can no longer give to us, or large funds that come from governmental fundings that are actually limited, we are always at risk. So we are playing it's like the stock market for us. It comes and goes, but we always have to maintain ourselves at a certain standard to succeed. But yes, we don't always come out on top there.
Absolutely. And I totally get it. What I say is it's very difficult when you view these from, you know, it's a charity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's not that direct connection between expenditures and corresponding revenue, right? And that's
exactly.
So you want to do something creative. You want to do a program for vets, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's not like a built-in, if I offer, you know, the service to 20 people instead of 10, I double my revenue. That's not how it works.
No.
You have to go out and find it. And I think it's helpful for our listeners to understand that. And it's two-thirds,
yes.
right, is coming from private donations, the importance of, you know, getting the support to keep this going on an annual basis.
Mm-hmm. And I think the unique part that sets contemporary art institutions apart from, like, historical art institutions is that historical art institutions have a set in value, because the idea or the person that they're surrounded, let's say their mission is surrounded on, is already set in stone. You know, like if you think about the historical collections of the Metropolitan Museum of Art, whether they go from the beginning of art collecting, you know, in the medieval period all the way down to modernism, those artists, those individuals are set in stone as having worth and value. And people are more willing to invest in those in kind of encyclopedic collections versus investing in contemporary art institutions, unless that contemporary arts institution is offering an experience that is unlike any other experience. But what I'm here to say is that Paris Gibson Square Museum of Art actually offers an experience that is unlike any of the institutions here in Montana, because it is not only exhibiting contemporary art that formulates, that will become the history of Montana, but it's also building the future in terms of the arts, because of the fact that we also have a studio arts education center that builds future artists. So these individuals taking classes in our studios are becoming artists in their own right, and as they move along, we'll have it eventually probably have an exhibit within our institution. So it's hard to say, because institutions are so different, that we have the historical value of an institution built on the hands of art activists and artists in the late 1970s, when the school became the museum. But we don't have a historical artist name associated with our institution that draws a ton of attention. Like, we're not the museum of André Monet, you know.
Yeah.
We are Paris Gibson Square Museum of Art, a contemporary art museum in Montana.
And I think that's a really important distinction, that there is, if you have a historical art museum, it's had decades or centuries, and everyone knows that this is, in our culture, a big person that we recognize has value. And like anything, right? If you know something has been around, and we'll, you know, you're pretty sure it's going to be around for much longer, right?
Yeah.
And it makes you more comfortable giving.
Yeah.
But that we're not going to, you guys are our seed corn, right? And we've got to keep producing it to be able to have kind of history continue, I guess, so to speak.
Exactly. And the benefit of what we do is that we bring so many important conversations to the table that really reach out to, you know, diversity, inclusion, and equity, due to the fact that we are, like I was saying, people who want to invest in immediate issues, like pull away from the arts and invest in other issues, which is also a need. They're also in need as well, and it's totally valid. But the arts are suffering, and it is a fact. And museums are relying on these art auctions to continue to support their operations. Whether they're already in an amazing position, they still need support in operations, or whether you are like Paris Gibson Square Museum of Art, where we are seeking to create and grow our institution into something that can be amazing, more amazing than it already is, with more staff, you know. Like you said, we're a powerhouse of these four ladies that take on the world to make all of this happen and bring all of these important artists to our institution so that the community can enjoy an educational programming from guest experts in the history of art, particular fields of art, to expertise in how art heals through the Veteran of Art program or the Love for the Arts program with adults with disabilities, to just having a joy for art and helping children and adults learn how to create art in some way. So we are really trying to take over the world with only four people working hardcore and a staff of instructors and techs that are amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love the saying, you know, never doubt that a few group of committed people can change the world. You know, mm-hmm. after all that's ever happened.
Right.
And mm-hmm. so I salute you. And I want to get into, we've talked about the importance of this unbroken thread of art back through, you know, even going back millennia. Mm-hmm. And so the importance of art collecting. And I know that this has been something that you've been heavily engaged in and you're teaching about, right, is mm-hmm. collecting art. Yeah. So first off, what's the why? Why is, and you've sort of answered this, but just for our listeners, very clear, why is art collecting important?
I think in Great Falls, we have a sector of art collecting that's really focused on Western-themed topics. And I think that it has a very strong draw in our region. And it's very successful, and the artists who participate in that sector do very well, and you know, and they are amazing artists in their own right, creating works that cover Western topics like, you know, animal life and historical themes related to battles and whatnot. You know, we have a challenging effort in our institution and. For our region is that we present contemporary art. So that means we present artwork that is outside of the realist perspective. So it's a little bit more abstract, or in abstract, I mean conceptually abstract, and different than what collectors in this area are used to collecting. But what I want to say is that I'm trying to, and I will be in May also giving a discussion on collecting art that's related to the kind of work that we exhibit at Paris Gibson Square Museum of Art and the importance of it. And the reason why collecting is important is because, and there's ways to look at it, is because you are supporting the museum if you do purchase a work at the auction, and you are also supporting the artists, and the artists in effect are helping to complete the cycle of donation by beginning the cycle of donation. They donate their artwork, we get the money, and the money comes to the institution. And a lot of these artists in this next gala are donating, most of them are donating 100% of their sales to the institution. So from that perspective, you as a collector are becoming a patron and donor, not only to the artists, but to the institution, and you become a patron of the arts. Now from, oh, go ahead.
No, I just love how you set up that it's an ecosystem. And so that whether you are giving directly mm-hmm. to the museums, right, which is very much so needed, but also if you're supporting the local artists, you're kind of getting people that can do this as a career as artists, who then, you know, will be able to seed to the museum through donating art to mm-hmm. that has value, right, to the gala and other fundraising efforts.
Exactly. And you're correct in saying that it is an ecosystem, and that is the excellent word to use for that. The other part is, as an individual who perhaps has some fear in collecting artwork because, you know, you're not sure why you should do it. There's a lot of complexities to that, but the most important part to that is understanding that you collect the work you see that you love. You know, there's no way you can go into a gallery or an exhibition and not see a work of art that you love. And the important part of it is just like you might see a item of clothing or a pair of tennis shoes that you're like, I'm saving and I'm getting that, right? There's something to be said about a work of art that you purchase because it draws you in and brings meaning to your life and lives in your home and becomes a part of who you are. And in some way, you're establishing to the world around you as you begin collecting, you begin establishing this idea of who are you as a person? What is important to you as a person, you know? And what kind of legacy do you expect to have in the end as a collector? What will you do with your artwork at the end? Will you pass it on to your family? Will you be a donor and gift it to an institution? You know, and in so doing, you support the artists, you know, you help them grow their career and continue to produce works of art. As a collector, you are contributing to that ecosystem that you were speaking about, but you're also contributing to an understanding of the social historical value of art in the present time and how it relates to all the issues that you might rather be giving your money to.
Absolutely. And I love the idea that, you know, a lot of the great artists of the past, if there weren't patrons of the arts, yes, right, we would never have what is now kind of baked in, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Van Goghs, right? And I think it was, you know, Monet that you talk about.
Yeah.
Is,
mm-hmm.
But if we want to have new ones, we can't just separate and say, okay, we're going to invest in this historical, and it just stays in this limited box,
yes,
that we've got to constantly be, whether it's, mm-hmm, as an art collector, you know, yeah, whether it's just supporting directly, we've got to keep, right, our harvest,
yes,
you know, being replanted every season.
Yeah. And some might say, well, the issue with collecting is I don't see that collecting artwork represents my values because I am an individual who, for example, this is a hypothetical situation, who is looking to support more tangible needs like climate change or environmental issues. And I don't see how art helps that. And actually, that's not true, because there is a huge effort on the part of artists across the world to be the communicators of that issue. Because scientists and environmentalists can communicate through data and through images of what's going on, but artists have the ability to create emotion in their work and also create a more visually tangible understanding, whether it be through video art or a painting or a photograph or an etching or whatnot, that really makes a person who might not have ever thought about that environmental issue, you know, stand on it and say, I understand it now because of this artwork. And now I'm more connected. And that was like last summer when we had the Extraction Project, which was all about climate change. And these artists across the world who got together to speak about that topic.
Absolutely. And I think that art, you see almost any movement, right? It has symbols, and mm-hmm, it has art with it. It has music,
mm-hmm,
and that it can help move these issues from people's heads to their hearts. Right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And so we're getting near the end of our time, and I want to make sure our listeners, we circle back to the gala. And
yes,
so can you just discuss, we know it's May 13th, Friday at the Newbury, 6 to 10 p.m. What is all the gala going to consist of?
The gala is going to be an outstanding event of fun, you know. But really that fun is inside the word, you know, in a way, fundraiser, you know. It's a fundraiser, but it's also a fundraiser, you know. So you're going to have fun and you're going to listen to music and you're going to buy the Big Sky mud flaps from Missoula. And you're going to give. It's really an event to give, and we are asking the community to give to us through our gala for the arts, giving to the square. So buy a table, buy a ticket, and give to the experience of knowing that your dollars are going to build an outstanding institution that already gives 100% to the community through all of its efforts and outreach and exhibits through education, through health, through spirituality, through all these different levels that help to grow a healthy Great Falls. And we really do need that funding. We are 100% almost reliant on our donations. So when the art goes up on stage, we are hoping for people to buy the art. And this is a thing that it's a wonderful to come to the event and enjoy it. But if you come there also with the idea to give at our paddle raise and buy a work of art, then that's the kind of person that we need, because we really need supporter for the arts that's going to buy a ticket, buy the art, and give to our paddle raise so that we can build even more dynamic programming for our institution.
Perfect. So listeners, don't miss it. We've got to create the seed corn and keep, you know, the harvest going. And so make sure to come out for the Paris Gibson Square Museum of Art Gala for the Arts, Friday, May 13th at the Newberry, 6 to 10 p.m. And you can find more information about that on thesquare.org.
Yes, or call and you can find out more directly. Tickets are for sale. Tables are for sale right now.
Yeah, exactly. So get on and do it now.
Yes.
Thank you, Nicole. It's been an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate you taking the time for the interview.
Oh, thank you so much. I always appreciate it, too.
That was Nicole Maria Evans, the curator of exhibitions.
And collections.
And collections.
I know it's a long one. What a...
At Paris Gibson Square Museum of Art. Thank you so much for listening to Voices and Views right here on KGPR 89.9 FM.
Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like more information about KGPR, please visit our website, kgpr.org, where you can find a link to donate, links to all of our other locally produced programming, and information about your local voice, KGPR Great Falls.
Voices and Views is brought to you in part by Advanced Litho Printing, with over 60 years of excellence in printing. From the smallest job to the largest jobs and anything in between, Advanced Litho has everything you need printing related. Advanced Litho is family owned and Great Falls based. To find out more about all they offer, go to advancedlithoprinting.com or call them at 406-453-0393. And we thank them for supporting local public radio on KGPR.